Well, good morning again. Today we're going to talk about hope. Hope is a very important word. One of the times that personally I was struggling to hang on hope was when I was 19 years old, just finished grade 12, going to Universal College in the capital city. And then, as I told you, the difference between Mali at that time and here is this. We had only one university or college in the whole country, and it's in the capital city. Figure out if you were to be in Mali at that time, I mean, let's say it's like in Canada, that, okay, from Alberta, over 10 provinces, when your child finished grade 12, you all had to send him or her to Ottawa. Would be a jammy place, and everybody struggling. And you get there, there's no dorm on the campus. Everybody trying to find someone who can take care of his son or her son to give food, and then make sure the son can go to school. This was my context where my parents were pastoring in a small village, rural place, far away from the capital city. And now, me being the first son going to university college, I had to go to the capital city. My parents rely on one of their friends, my father's younger brother. He promised my father, no, I'll find someone in the capital city who take care of Nuhum. And then my father trusted his younger brother. And as time was getting closer, I went to my father and said, Dad, my time to go to university is coming. Have you found someone who will take care of me in the capital city? He said, yes, I talked to my younger brother, your uncle, he would do it. And I knew, based on the 3 years I spent with my uncle, he didn't like me. That was a sad story. He didn't like me. We all went to church together, but he, for whatever reason, didn't like me. So I trusted my father. September 6, 1989, I took my suitcase and went to my uncle. I said, Uncle, my father said that you will find someone for me in the capital city. He said, yes. I talked to two people, and they all say yes, and gave me their name. September 11, 1989, I landed in the capital city and went to the first person. I'm trembling. I say, yeah, my uncle told me that you'll be taking care of me for food and so that I can do university. He said, I met your uncle 3 times. He never mentioned your name to me. I had one person left, and he lived in a military barrack. At that time, our president was a dictator. We all are afraid of soldiers, and our soldiers are always in uniform to make sure everybody respects them, and we're all afraid of them, but I have no choice. I went to that military barrack, and then standing up in front of this military, I say, you are supposed to take care of me. I met your uncle 2 times. He never mentioned your name to me. I'm sorry I can't take care of you. This is the first time in my life I found myself in a hopeless situation. For the sake of time, it's a long story. In the end, I'll go back to the church where I put my luggage trying to find these people who take care of me. Since it didn't happen, I came back to the church. I said, Pastor, I need your help. Could you find someone who can take care of me? Pastor, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. You have to find yourself someone. So long story short, my food at that time was one piece of corn. That was my lunch and no breakfast. And nighttime, I'll only go and buy some small amount of beans. Spend 1 week like that. In the end, a Muslim man took me in his house, and he had mental illness I did not know. Several times, I'll be sitting in that dark room, 40 degrees Celsius, is with the back, with the foot. He will close the door with his foot like this. brother and sister, it was in those hard times that I nearly walked away from Jesus Christ because I was abandoned everywhere. There was no cell phone at that time. I couldn't call my parents. I had no money. The church people on whom I'm counting, nobody's there. Pastor couldn't help. How do you go back to church like that? That's where every Sunday morning was the toughest day. Because I want to go. I was born and grew up in church. The idea I can't go to church couldn't settle with me. But now, where do you go to play people who have abandoned you? Muslims are taking care of me. In the end, a gentle whisper will come and say, you know where you go. None of these people, including your own father, your uncle, your friend, your pastor, none of them die on the cross for you. You go back. And I'll go there angry. I'll sit at the back. People are sitting at the back. I hope you're not angry. Be sitting there. Don't want, and then just waiting for the people to say, amen, I'll sneak out. But there is one of the day guard who's at the bottom of society. He's not well paid. He spotted me and I explained my situation to him. He held my hand one time and said, young man, let me pray for you. As he sprang, he said, Nuhum, everybody has abandoned you, including Victor. One day they'll all regret it. Because don't abandon Jesus Christ. He will lift up your life in a way that nobody can explain. This was 1989. I'm sitting there hearing this. I said, no, that won't be, that's not possible. I don't see myself coming out of this hall. And yet Abel was this man's name. He had nothing financially speaking. Because he was a guardian. At that time, guardian would make probably $20 a month. And yet, Jesus spoke through this man, not a pastor, not an elder, not a deacon. They were all there, but nobody prayed with me. It was this guardian man who put Jesus back in my life again. And this is where, brother and sister, as you hear this message by hope, think about circumstances in your life when everything you're trying to hold on is cut off. Everything, your father, your family, your friend, your workplace, you think there were the one going to stand beside you, but never work. And Jesus, through your guardian, show up and say, don't abandon. Don't run away. There's still hope. You might not see it today, but it's here and it's there tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, that's the message for us in this Advent season. That whatever you're struggling with today, thing might look hopeless, thing might look dark to you, thing might look so complex that you have no clue where things are going to end up. With Jesus Christ, the light is shining. Today, Advent is a season where 4 Sundays before Christmas, on our Christian calendar, individually, collectively, followers of Jesus Christ prepare their heart to welcome the third Advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And yes, you see, Advent, these are quotations I have quoted to you several times as we talk about, but this is a way to refresh your mind. Advent, Max Lucado writes, every year, Advent invites us to prepare our heart once more for the gift that seemingly is too good to be true, but is in fact miraculously and joyfully true. And each year, we have the opportunity to say yes to that invitation to prepare our heart for the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, brother and sister, you see, he continued that the word Advent comes from the Latin word, Adventus, and simply means coming or arrival. Advent begins each year on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, which is the Sunday closest to November 30th. It is a season in which Christians around the world celebrate the first Advent, Jesus' birth, and also anticipate the second Advent, Christ's return. Although the theme of Advent sometimes vary, those most commonly observed during the 4 weeks of Advent are hope, peace, joy, and love. And today, we're going to talk about hope. The hope, what it is, Advent, you have a celebration of the first Advent, Jesus' birth. And then you have a second Advent called Jesus' return, Parousia. So, Christmas, we're waiting in hope for Jesus Christ to come and we celebrate his birth. As Jesus died for us, go to heaven after his resurrection. He is returning. Before he returns, we have another waiting time for him to come. Brothers and sisters, in all this advance, the context is this. Individually, collectively, God people are always in distress for oppression, for their faith, for trials, all kind of darkness around them. If you remember the first advent, the people Israel, after going through so many slavery time in Egypt, in Babylon, in Iran, and all those things, and in the end, in their own homeland, the Romans are in charge. They are in darkness. And the light shine through the darkness at Christmas. After he has accomplished his will for us, the second return, as we're going to see in the text that she read for us, what you're going to see, brother and sister, is again, we're in a time of darkness where in so many places, circumstances, the children of God are still struggling in their faith and for their faith. And yes, brother and sister, you see, this is where the hope that we're talking about will come in place. And what is hope? Aaron Sharp, he raises, there are several essential facets of a Christian life. Christianity without any one of these give you a faith that is incomplete and lacking in some way. One of the most joyous of these is hope. Hope plays such an important thing in our life that it is all but indispensable. Hope is what allows us to persevere. Through persecution, to endure through tribulation, and to overcome trial. Hope takes the worst of life that life has to offer and believe that there is something on the other side. Little wonder that Charles Spurgeon once advised, hope as much as ever a man can hope, for when your hope is in God, you cannot hope too much. And this is where, brothers and sisters, I have a picture for you. The hope is like a light shining in darkness. I just share a little bit of my situation where my hope was shaped. And just think about your personal life, individual, in your family. Think about your ministry. Think about your work, your married life, your children's life. Our life in different direction will find ourselves in darkness in access in different aspects of our life. Our lives are so complex. There's no facet to it. And this is where everybody needs this hope. Because in one way, things might be bright. Another way, it's so dark. And this is where hope comes as a younger brother to faith. Hope is another face of faith that you need to keep in your life, in your work, in your ministry, everywhere you go. Today, you might be surrounded by a lot of darkness. And I pray in Jesus Christ, as you can see him in this light, that you can still put your eye on that. Sometimes we are so tempted to just put our mind on this side. My prayer is at the end of this sermon that yes, you see, as you see this picture, the light is here, but it does not prevent the darkness to be around. Sometimes our problem is we want just to take away all the darkness. No. The darkness is there, but you need to focus on the light, that the hope. And my prayer is this, that as you are struggling again in your darkness, that the hope, the light of Jesus Christ will keep you going, will be guiding for you, will be a direction to where you're going, so that you don't leave that light to get lost in the deep, deep darkness. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, we ignore this light and then keep going there, and it's finished. And therefore, brother and sister, understand this, that you see, distress will be part of our faith journey, whether you like or not. Again, in different aspects of your life, distress will be part of our journey. You see, Mark chapter 13, 14, 24 to 25, you see, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon, will not give it light. The star will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. If you take the whole, you go to verse 1, you will see Jesus is talking about his second return. Before that, there will be false prophet, there will be war, earthquake, people hate each other, and people will be killing us, thinking they're doing good to God, trying to destroy your Christian faith. Reading this whole chapter, my mind go to Nigeria, where so many Christians are being killed right now because of their faith in Jesus Christ. My mind go to my Malian people. In the past 3 years, we have been struggling with Al-Qaeda trying to impose Sharia law. Even a few days ago, a church received a visit from the Islamists telling them, you have to give your tithing and offering to us, not to the church anymore. We are the new master in the village. Your tithing and offering in your church have to be given to Allah, to us now. And then, second, you have 1 month to convert to Islam, or we'll kill you all. And then what do you do? The army cannot send soldiers in every small village. So in that, figure yourself to be part of that small village church today in Mali. What would you do? What would you do? There's no soldier to defend you. And then the leader of that church say, we're ready to die rather than to be a Muslim. So just keep praying for them. And therefore, brothers and sisters, see, following that distress, and that where you have to realize distress based, it could be trials, it could be, yes, persecution, it could be oppression, or every kind of distress that you're going through, you know, it make your sun darkening. It make everything shining around you become dark. But you see, Jesus in all this is our hope in that darkness. And that's why you see, at that time, the time of distress, the time of tribulation, the time of trouble, a time where everything is dark, people will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with great power and glory. And he will send his angel and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the heaven. You see, brothers and sisters, it's at that time of darkness that you see a light. But it will be seen with the eye of faith. It's by faith based on his word. It's faith based on his spirit. It's faith based on that God sending a guardian Abel to you and say, Nahum, Stephanie, you might still be struggling with your faith, but still trust in God. Let me pray for you. And you keep walking with Jesus. One day it will be over. And you see the great power and glory. And what I like about it, he will send his angel. Jesus will send his angel. So many leaders in the religion they founded, they run around happy because angel appeared to them. I'll take the founder of Islam. Again, I'm not bashing Islam here. I'm not trashing it. It was an angel appeared to him. Yes, you know, angel appeared to so many, many people in the Bible. You hear, you read it. Angel appeared to Mary. Angel appeared to John Baptist's father. Angel appeared to, you know what? To so many people, to Abraham. Angel appeared to Jacob. But you will never hear that Jacob, in his power, in his faith, sent angel to someone. You will never hear that Mary was able to send an angel to someone. The point is this. Jesus sent angel. He is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. If other people see angel coming to them, guess what? This Jesus is so powerful. His power, his glory. He is God to the point that he can send angel. Other people see angels. Jesus, beyond seeing angel, can send angel. This is why you and I, our hope, our faith in him is solid. You should not be shaken. And yes, the glory and the power will come through in the darkness. And this is where it goes back again to this picture here, brother and sister. You see here? It's in this way that you're going to see the power, the glory of Jesus Christ sending his angel to you and to me. And the thing is, sometimes those angels come in the shape of a small thing, a small person. Sometimes we're expecting a big guy, a big event, but no. He will come to you in a small shape. But align with his word. Line up with his word. Don't fall for people come and sell you fantasy. Oh, I have a dream about it. Make sure that the angel of the Lord that come to you, that he's sending to you, those angels, their word, their action are aligned with God's word. And this is why, brother and sister, before all the trial and oppression, before all the darkness, it's very important for all of us to be student and doer of God's word. And that's why it's like if you want to resist illness, if your body is not well fed, it's not well nourished, when illness comes, your illness will take you easily. And the same thing is applied to our spiritual journey. The way you're going to keep faith, the way you're going to maintain your hope in time of darkness exists, is to be prepared to be anchored in God's word and in the fellowship of God's people. I told you my story. In the end, my encouragement in my hopelessness did not come from the Muslim community. It did not come from the pagan community. God used someone inside the church, inside his family, to encourage me through his word and prayer. And yes, brother and sister, you see, as he come to you, at that time of your darkness, look for his glory. Look for his angel. And the thing is, those angels can be you being sent to someone among us. Angels are messengers. Yes, sometimes they can come through an extraordinary ways. But other times, more commonly for us today, will come Stephen, you could be used as an angel in YK's life. YK, you can be used as an angel in Pastor Terrence's life through the word that he wants you to say to him, through the encouragement he wants you to give to him through him. And that's why, brothers and sisters, let us all be anchored in God's word. And yes, Jesus is the faithful God. You see, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That strengthens again the necessity, the importance for us to know God's word, to be anchored in God's word. Without that, so many people in the time of darkness, what happened in Africa, they run to see witch doctors, witchcraft. They go and see a sorcerer, fortune tellers. I'm going through a hard time. Can you look in my palm? Can you look this to see what happened? I don't know what happened here in the West. I've been far away from that. But I do pray that you and I, we don't fall in that trap, that thing are tough. You're trying to go and see a fortune teller to tell you what happened next. Let your fortune teller still be. That, you know what? The word and the faithfulness and the promises of Jesus Christ will never pass away. They're there for you. And this is where his faithfulness stands for us. This is where it's very important that, yes, you cannot doubt his word in time of darkness. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he will stand. And yes, brothers and sisters, I will never forget the story of this young man, as I mentioned to you several times. He was the son of a leader in our local church. This was the second church where my father was a pastor. The chairman of the board, his son. One day, he's doing the work outside. He started to hear the noise of his chicken. Phew, phew, phew. And he thought, I'm hearing the noise of the chicken, but I don't see the chicken. Long story short, at a certain time, he realized the noise of the chicken is coming from his own belly. What? These are true stories. You don't hear very often here in North America. If that happened to you, would you eat shushale again? No. Can you imagine you're walking over sudden, this chicken is coming from your belly? It's a true story. In the end, guess what? What did he do? The elder of the chairman of the board of the church, if it was a, you know, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, he took his son and ran from one witch doctor to another that Jesus can't do anything about this. He spent 2 weeks running from one witch doctor to another. After 2 weeks, it never worked. One Sunday night, he and his son, following each other on motorbike, came to the church. My father was still the senior pastor. Said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. We run from witch doctor, never worked." My father said, "God has forgiveness for you. God will still do miracle." He took them in the church building, mud brick chair building, and guess what? Went to call a few leaders of the church, and they spent the whole night praying for this young man. At the end of the night, the noise of this chicken disappeared completely. I remember 4 months later, the father stood up in front of the whole church, said, "Church, I want to ask for forgiveness. In my time of darkness, I doubted God's word. I doubted Jesus' power. And I ran from one witch doctor to another, never worked. And by doing so, I put shame on Jesus and the church. But in the end, Jesus showed me kindness, grace, and mercy, and healed and saved my son. And I just want you to forgive me for my lack of faith, and also tell you that there's nobody like Jesus Christ." And you know what? In the end, that son went to university, finished, worked for World Vision for more than 20 years. He's retired today. And today he himself is a leader in one of our evangelical alliance churches in the city where my parents live. Therefore, brothers and sisters, yes, the temptation will be for you and me trying to find another faithful God. But Jesus Christ is the faithful one. Stay there. Follow him. Follow his angel's direction for you. And yes, brother and sister, you will never, never regret it. And you see, and what do you do? One of the things about hope, it looks like you just have to sit there, you do nothing. The question is, in time of waiting, in time of hope, what do you do concretely? Number one is, you know what? Very important. Keep obeying Jesus and praying to him. Obey him. Obey his word. You see, but about that day or hour, no one knows. So many times, just we read to be on guard, be alert, keep watch, watch. All this, don't fall for a trap. Just alert to remain faithful to me. Obey my word. Follow me. Keep praying. Brother and sister, it looks simple and yet meaningful. At this time, many of us, as I just mentioned to you in the case of this family, they were diverted. They were distracted by other God. They didn't keep watching. I don't know whatever happened in their background. But at a certain point, they got distracted by other God to a point that God earned the trust of their heart. At this moment, brother and sister, are you distracted by other God in your life? Are you distracted by other things that may take the place of God in your heart? Keep watching. Keep watching. And yes, keep obeying Jesus' word. Be hope, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Romans chapter 12 to 12. This is easy to remember. Romans 12:12. You see, be joyful in hope because you know that Jesus, his angel, are coming. At that time, I don't know when, that's what he's saying, because sometimes for us, we want to put a time restriction on Jesus Christ. Jesus cannot control him. He will choose his time. He will choose his manner. And this is why you just sit there and wait for him. Be joyful in hope and be patient in affliction. In this affliction, many of us lose our patience. One of the time I had to pray for someone in Ottawa, my first year in this country, I ran into a gentleman who had just lost his job. We're in a small group of prayer. He said, well, I just lost my job as a truck driver. Pray for me to have another job. But he insisted, but don't pray for patient. I said, what? Well, clearly, so I want you to pray for job, but don't pray for patient. I said, well, that won't work. You have to be patient. But patient does not mean do nothing. Patient means to trust in him and keep acting on that trust that you have in him. Many of us lose patience in our affliction and try to have a shortcut. This is where you remember the story of Abraham. Abraham was praying to have a son. God was waiting. At a certain time, Sarah and Abraham say, you know what? We have waited for so long. Sarah say, what about you just take Hagar? And Sarah, in the end, gave Hagar to Abraham. Abraham with Hagar, they got Ishmael. Ishmael today, this is where we have today, this fight between Islam and Christianity. It all goes back to that story. A shortcut in a time of affliction will bring you headache. Therefore, brother and sister, just wait
on Jesus Christ.
And as you're waiting, be faithful in prayer. Prayer, as I told you several times, John Calvin has influenced me in that way. Prayer is the chief exercise of your faith. Prayer is a Jesus, you say in your word, I'll apply that word and I'll wait for you. You say you do this, we believe you, we trust you. You ask us to do this, we'll do it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the question is, how joyful are you in hope? How patient are you in affliction? And how faithful are you in prayer in your time of darkness? And this is the test for all of us. It's not easy, but it's where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we need each other. Abel, again, I'll never forget Abel. Remember, to conclude my sermon is this. Abel helped me in 1989. Told me one day, the church, everybody who have abandoned you will regret it. 2007, I was already here in Canada with Joshua, one son, married. I went back to Mali. One of the first things was to run to that church where Abel spoke to my heart, to my life. I ran there. Think about it, 1989 to 2007, many years after, I went. My name is Nuhum. A few people knew me. I say, I'm looking for Abel. Where's Abel? They say, Abel passed away. I was so mad. I said, what about his wife? The wife also passed away. Unfortunately, Abel, they passed away, no children left. I said, no, Lord, you help me one day. Yes, when I go to heaven, one of the first person I'll be looking for is Abel. Because on that day, I had some financial gift in my pocket. It was not about money. It was just going back and say, Abel, you gave me Jesus. That Jesus have blessed me according to your prayer and the faith you put me back in my life. I'm back here to say thank you to God through you. But unfortunately, that day, Abel was not there. The whole point is this. Brother and sister, one of the actions you do as God sent angel in your life, in your time of darkness, when opportunities are there, one of the first way to be faithful and be patient is to go to those people and say thank you. Because you never know how long they'll be around you. That's a big lesson I have learned. And therefore, as you're going through all this, always be joyful, be patient, be faithful in small things around you, in your family. And all these are actions that you can do. And yes, Jesus will honor your obedience and your prayer in that way. You see, so many people walk through this life completely void of hope. There's no light in their eyes. They are so beaten down by life that they can barely get out of bed in the morning, let alone face the day with a bounce of in their step. The Lord will touch those lost souls, this weary heart, with the glorious truth of his love for them. He will give them that blessed assurance, that hope that only comes from trusting in God. For such is the hope that makes all their days worth living. From the book called Living in God's Grace, page 271. Brother and sister, again, as you are faithful in prayer, you are patient in affliction, the Lord will touch you. There's no doubt about it. He will touch you. He will touch your family. He will touch your work life. And he will touch our church, no matter how dark things are. Because you know what? He is a faithful God. He answers prayer and he honors people, honors them through obedience. You see, one of the things about this, when you are obeying God in your tough time, your dark time, you are honoring God. It's an honor you bring to God. And God honors all the people honors. And yes, you see, some small but powerful way of making hope a way of life for you. And you see, train your mind, your heart, to seek the light of Christ by noticing all the light around you throughout the day. I just want you to have this picture of light as a symbol of hope. That's what it is. Have something that when you see that, it will remind you of this sermon about hope. You see sunrise light, sunset light. Take those things so many times. I remember you have a sunlight coming out, sunrise, it captures your attention. You should go all the sunset. Some of us, I'm sure you all have experienced that. Strain your heart, your mind to try to take those light as an example of hope. There's this hope. Yes, star light. When if you grew up in a village like me, no electricity, every night we're so lying on a small bed and look at the sky full of light in the darkness because of the stars. Yes, brothers and sisters, light in your house, light in the street, light in your car, on your car. Yes, all this Christmas light, especially this season. Have you noticed during Christmas time, light on houses is the symbol of hope. That yes, things are dark, but the light of Christ still give us joy. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see any other light that you can have as a symbol of hope in your life. In the end, it's all about prayer. Prayer of hope. You see, come Lord Jesus, my hope is in you. My hope is not in which doctor. My hope is not even in my money. It's not in my work. It's not in my status. It's in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is faithful. Jesus is eternal. The one who can send angel, believe me, that's God, is worth trusting. Angel can appear to you, but you will never, never be able to send an angel. Remember this. All the religious leaders, pagan leaders who have founded religion, they claim that angel appeared to them, but none of them can say, well, I was so powerful, I sent an angel somewhere. You can't do it. But Jesus, in Mark and in Revelation, he sent his angel. That Jesus, put your hope in him. And yes, brothers and sisters, see Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This Christmas season, the end of this year, and the beginning of a new year is a time full of hope. You reflect on 25, so many darkness, but you know what? You're here because he's faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You might not know what's happening tomorrow, but it's good enough to know the God who is in charge of tomorrow. Therefore, hang on that God in hope and in trust. And yes, be prayerful and be patient, and the light will come. It happened to me every time I would remember Abel that God sent to me as his angel. And today, I'm here because, yes, God showed me his faithfulness. And today, tomorrow, he will do the same for you. God bless you in your journey. And let his light continue to shine in your darkness. And you follow him with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.